if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to this here episode 379 of BRB UK. It is the only episode 379 there will ever be of this show, so it's a special edition, if you will, you lucky, lucky things. So yeah, I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts, hello. And I'm joined by Tim this week.
Yeah.
But Coleman is not here.
He's missing, presumed dead after trying to ask his other half to go to Sonic on Valentine's Day.
There was something about a ring that got misconstrued. It was all terribly embarrassing. You know, he doesn't want to talk about it.
That went horribly wrong.
Yeah, something about spiked for her pleasure. I don't know. It was just all terribly wrong. But we don't have a cold man, but we do have a Sarah woman. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
A, how, and B, who are you?
How? Yeah, I was thinking, how am I? Yes, I'm doing very well, thank you. It's been a long time since I've done any kind of podcasting, so yeah, so if people might remember me, I used to be one of the four stick twiddlers, if you ever checked out our podcast then. Been away for a little bit, but I've got something new and exciting to kind of talk about, so that's why I'm here.
Those are two of my favourite things, things that are new and things that are exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a former friend of Big Red Barrel as well, I'll add to that list of, credits as well.
That was further away in my memory than the stick twiddler stuff, so essentially it kind of doesn't exist until someone reminds me. But I wrote a couple of articles for Big Red Barrel a long time ago. So it's nice to be back.
Yeah, nice to have you back. And as you say, we've got something big and exciting to talk about.
We do.
The thing that's been pulling me away from a few podcasts in recent weeks and we've been a bit secret about until now, we're shouting about it lots, basically. So yeah, tell us all about Geek Out for Gosh.
Cool. So the new exciting thing, I basically work for Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity. So what this charity does is we support Great Ormond Street Hospital to basically provide, basically make things much, much better for patients and their families. So that's things like we fund play specialists to play with the kids, take their mind off of what's going on, new facilities, renovating all the buildings, places for the families to stay, basically everything above and beyond what the NHS can provide to make Great Ormond Street Hospital a world-class hospital for seriously ill children. So obviously we need to do a lot of fundraising. And as you know, as all of your listeners are keen gamers, they will know just how amazing the gaming community is for raising money, and the Gosh charity essentially wants to get in on that. So they hired me to essentially start our entire video game fundraising project whatever you want to call it.
So no pressure then, really? No pressure?
Not at all. No pressure in the slightest. It's definitely not been stressful, but also, I mean, I only started back in... literally, it's been about a month at this point.
Yeah, it was January, wasn't it?
So, yeah, beginning of January, but it's been like the most exciting, amazing few weeks of like my entire career. It's been so, so, so good. So yeah, so the thing we are super thrilled to finally be able to shout about is Geek Out for Gosh. So it's the first fundraising event that we are running to do with video games. Basically, for the week of the 30th of March to the 4th of April, we are basically calling on gamers, streamers of any shape, size, form, platform, console, whatever, to run their own gaming fundraising extravaganza. You can basically go to, we are basically partnering with a fundraising platform called Tiltify. So if you've ever done a video game stream before for charity, you'll know about Just Giving. You'll know Just Giving's great for some things, not very good for live streaming. Tiltify is amazing. It's built on your viewers being able to interact with your stream, with your donations. It's absolutely amazing. I won't go into it in too much detail. Just get on it and start playing around with it. But yeah, so we're working with Tiltify. They're providing all of the sort of fundraising platform behind it. You sign up through Tiltify. You join our Geek Out for Gosh event. You're one of our registered fundraisers. You do your stream. We'll have incentives, so you raise over a certain amount, you'll go into a draw to win certain prizes. Mm-hmm. We're basically going to be obviously promoting your stream. You're going to raise loads of money for sick children. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But then, if that's not enough, on the 3rd and 4th of April at Gosh HQ, mm-hmm. we are running our own live stream mm-hmm. event. We're partnering with an amazing live stream specialist company called Groovy Gecko. They've worked with Twitch Rivals. Mm-hmm. They basically powered all of that. They're now powering mm-hmm. all of our stuff. We are going to have streamers. We're going to have celebrities. We're going to have games. We're going to have some ridiculous challenges. Some of the kids from the hospital are going to come and run some things and take over and cause yep. absolute chaos. And it is going to be absolutely amazing. So whether you're streaming, whether you're watching, make sure you check out Geek Out for Gosh on that week. And help us raise loads of money for yeah. seriously ill children. And it'll be amazing.
And look, it's a great cause. We definitely, that's something kind of fully aware of with Great Ormond Street kind of going in. Not to put too much pressure on other people, but this is something where there's obviously plans going forward. And, mm-hmm. and this is kind of the first thing we're doing. But it supporting is. This event will help kind of pave the way for the future. So it's not just the 100%. Money you raise now. It's also the money, the campaign that you'll help get going to kind of raise money going forward, and that's the idea for Great Ormond Street, basically. So.
Yeah. So essentially, we're kind of seeing this almost as a kind of pilot event to see, how it's going to work, what kind of appetite there is out there for the gaming community to support Great Ormond Street.
Yeah.
So don't let me down.
And there's other stuff going on in the background and stuff.
There
obviously.
Is. We've got stuff going on.
I think this is quite cool in the way that, like, streamers can get involved and then help raise awareness for the streams that we're doing, and then they can all chill out from having earned some money and just kick back and relax and watch some fun streams going on at Great Ormond Street. So
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's a nice kind of first thing. It puts a lot of pressure on you to get this all done, and
definitely
that's why
yeah.
we're in trying to help out and then help raise the message and just get that out to our listeners. And yeah, obviously we'll have some more details, but the chance to get you on and actually get you in to talk about it directly is one that we couldn't pass up on, basically.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, yeah, it's at this point, any and all support is just the most amazing thing. Not to kind of shout about sort of rivals, competitors or anything mm-hmm. like that. The amazing team at Eurogamer, the video team, mm-hmm. Ian, Aoife and Zoe, they're going to be doing one of our charity streams on the 31st of March. So it's cool. Amazing to have them on board.
Yeah.
We'd love to maybe have a big Red Barrel stream as well, if any of the staff, any of the team here want to help out. Yes, excellent. And as well, I think Al and Jamie, who used to do Stick Twiddlers with me, I think they're possibly looking at something. We did, as part of Stick Twiddlers, we did a couple of 24-hour streams, which were complete chaos. So I'm sure they'll be able to dig out some of that.
They were always good for their fundraising and stuff. I know they did some other events and stuff that they did, along with Eurogamer, in fact, where they did some fundraising stuff as well. So, yeah, they're good people. It'd be good to have them back in the fray, even if it's just a temporary...
Definitely. I think it's kind of bringing them out of retirement
it. But I think it's a wonderful thing to get involved in. I mean, look how far Extra Life has come, right? Over 10 years. And that started off as a very small thing kind of that was kind of kick-started by Sarcastic Gaming, the website we used to podcast for. And there's a real opportunity to make such an incredible difference to so many kids' lives. And I was lucky enough never to be admitted to hospital for anything when I was a kid, but obviously as a medic I have seen kids unwell in hospital, and the importance of all the other stuff that goes beyond just the medical and surgical care is so important to help these kids be kids. And with, by helping Gosh out in this way, I mean, at the end of the day, they're still away from home, they're still in a hospital, but you can make it a much more welcoming, a much more happy environment for these kids, which can only help them get better quicker. So any way in which you can help, seriously, it will make such a difference to these kids' lives. Tim and Sarah were talking, I can confirm it's mega easy to sign up on Tiltify. You just go to tiltify.com, you click register, and if you've already got a Twitch account, you just log in via Twitch and you sort it.
The good thing is, as well, is even if you stream through YouTube or Mixer, there's not going to be many people, but if you are one of the few people who use Facebook gaming, you can even sign up through that. So okay. Yeah, literally any platform, log in with that platform and you're done.
Okay.
It's great. And you want to search for Gosh and then click Great Ormond Street Hospital, and then you will see Geek Out for Gosh once you've found it that way.
There we go.
Live filling in forms for you.
And yeah, we'll have some more details. Maybe we'll have you on back after the show to kind of, you know, like after the event and stuff, maybe. I don't know, you'll be probably a bit busy from now to the event, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think from now until then, I'm just going to be in a whirlwind. Maybe give me a couple of days after the event as well to sit in a dark room and not do anything. But yeah, after that, yeah, I can come back and talk about all the other stuff we've got planned as well. Because, as we said, like this is kind of our pilot. This is our first thing. But it is the first of many. Yeah. We've got a lot of stuff already kind of starting to enter the pipeline, even before Geek Out for Gosh the dust has settled from that. So, yeah, there's going to be so much going on.
But literally, gamers out there can help us trailblaze, like setting this up and getting this going. You can be there from the ground floor and help us kind of build the foundations of what we're going to do in the future. And then we'll have some real fun stuff coming up as well.
Yeah,
I think this event's going to be really good fun as well. So please come and take part in any way you can.
And the great thing is as well, like even if you're not a streamer, if you head to the Tiltify page for Great Ormond Street and then the Geek Out for Gosh one, through there you can see all of the streamers who have signed up you can get to their streams from there and you can choose who to donate from. So during that week, even if you can't stream, head to the Tiltify page, check out some of the other streams. Cool. You might even find your new favourite streamer that way as well as, you know, chucking them a little bit of cash.
Hi everyone, if you want to see a middle-aged man be really rubbish at games, twitch.tv/CaptainAverage, that's where it's at. But no, seriously, do get involved everyone, and as we always say with charity things, but it is true, we realise that not everyone might have the spare cash to donate themselves, and that's absolutely fine. But what you can do, a great way you can help, is just tell other people about it, tweet about it, do whatever you can, get word out, and that helps too.
Yeah, just help spread the message.
So, I mean, Sarah, real talk. Okay, real talk time, Sarah.
Oh. Go on.
Now, I know people will be deeply excited about me, Tim and Coleman streaming something. But let's put that aside for one moment. Who were the... Any hints about the other celebs that are going to be there?
We'll have more news on that in the future.
Yes.
Oh, come on! You can give me a clue.
I don't know if I can.
No, literally cannot at this moment. But there is some seriously exciting people on that list, basically.
Yeah,
I
will say I did get a very exciting email this morning.
Oh, okay, I haven't heard that one yet. So.
Yeah, Tim, I will fill you in once we've stopped recording and once I've seen that it's stopped recording.
You guys are teasers. Teasers, I tell you.
But yeah, there is some really cool news coming off of that as well. So, and I will definitely have more information on that as and when we can release that information, basically. But yeah.
Honestly, all I'm trying to do is get some gossip. And it's like, no, if I tell you, I will have to kill you. And that's not really in the spirit of charity, is it, Tim?
No, Dan.
So you could just give me a little hint.
I would say that, you know, you're throwing me and Sarah under the bus, but I'll just throw you back under the bus because I know you know one person that could be involved and you're sworn to secrecy, so you can't say either.
That is very true, actually.
See?
All we can say is that it's going to be exciting.
It's
going to be super, super, super cool.
So yeah, Sarah's going to be sticking around for the rest of the show, which is good because I think you are more of an expert on one of the topics coming up than both of us put together.
Ooh, expert is a strong word.
With a multiplier put on.
Actually, yeah, let me check the agenda. No, all of the topics.
All of the topics.
All the topics. Yeah,
should have you on more often, is what we're saying. But yeah, so But yeah, we'll as I said, we'll have some more information about Geek Out for Gosh, and we'll put some links and stuff in the show notes, Mr. Coleman. Thank you very much. Generally, I'll be spreading that all over Twitter and everywhere else I can find to get the message out as well. So do try and join in for that, or just search.
So it sounds magnanimous. Please don't scroll anything on toilet cubicle walls.
Yeah,
Tim.
Yeah.
All I ask.
Don't do that. But you can also just follow Geek Out for Gosh on Twitter as well.
You can indeed. Yeah, and if you do need any help or support with getting your Tiltify page set up, if you want any help or advice on how to make the most out of all of those really, really cool features that mm-hmm. Tiltify's got, things like polls, incentives, milestones, anything like that. We have a Discord channel as well, which you can join, and you can come and chat and hang out and get loads mm-hmm. of like fundraising ideas from other people taking part. Also, as well as you can follow me at Pika Pies on Twitter, and you're more than welcome to just give me a shout on Twitter and I'll help you out, because obviously, you know, the more I help you guys, mm-hmm. the more money you raise.
Better for everyone.
The better for everyone, definitely.
Especially the children, which is what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that's good. We'll crack on with the rest of the show. But yeah, as I said, we'll have some more information, and we'll probably repeat some of that information at the end of the show and the shout-outs and stuff. But we'll have lots more information coming up in future weeks as well. So yeah,
definitely.
News.
News.
Newsy news.
Moving on to news.
Newsy, newsy news. Since Carmen's not here, we're going to be slightly making this up as we go along. So it's going to be fine. It's all good. So, new consoles.
Yeah.
You may have heard, new consoles out this year, all right?
There's been a few rumours about around this week, basically. I'm not sure any of them's substantiated, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, including, I think, this might have been last week, you know, on Sony's website, you have the various icons or various platforms. So, generally, all themes on here. Here is a square / oblong. All right, that's a PlayStation. Fair enough, thanks for that. But they did temporarily on Sony Japan site apparently have a PS5 image, which does look like, it might appear like, the slightly but ugly dev kits.
They can't make it that ugly. They cannot make a commercial product that ugly.
I mean, I'm still wondering, do you reckon the final version is going to have, like, the drinks holder bit in the middle of it?
Oh, let's hope so.
Yeah, I kind of hope so, but also no.
Or maybe that's where you warm your Subway sandwich or other bread-based goodness of your choice.
It's where you pour the fondue and then you dip from it.
Oh, it's a fondue warmer, yeah.
And the heat of the console keeps your dip warm.
Oh. It's come full circle. We started off with the PS3 looking like the George Foreman grill. Now, finally, they have embedded a food warming device into the PS5.
Oh, nice.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Microsoft.
Am I wrong in thinking that I don't think there's ever been a console, a major console release that looked anything like its dev kit? I'm trying to think.
No.
The only thing I can think is an impossible exception is the original PlayStation, because I think they looked like a double-decker version of their PlayStation, wasn't it?
No, that was the consumer thing, like the Net-Eurose or something, I think, where it's like blue.
I thought, yeah, there was one where it looked like very similar, but it had a different, I think it was a different colour and a slightly different, or it had an add-on to it or something. But I can't think of a console that's ever come out looking exactly like the dev kit version, basically. So I doubt that's ever going to be the case. And I think it fuels a lot of speculation and you get the blurry pictures that someone's released from the studio and stuff. But I don't think that's likely to be the final form factor, really.
Indeed. But what is sounding an increasing likelihood by the way kind of component prices are going is that the PS5 might be pushing the $450 to $500 mark, which with Brexit and all of that wonderful stuff probably means about £3,000 by the time Christmas comes around. Largely driven, apparently, by problems with RAM prices. I think there was, back last year, there was a fire in a Taiwanese warehouse where a lot of the raw materials are, and that's now starting to find its way into the system. Because, I mean, RAM did get really cheap for a while, but now it's starting to climb back up again. That, and the fact that a lot of electronic devices are made in China, where they're trying to limit the number of people who are in close proximity to one another at any one time, meaning that production lines may be affected with the coronavirus, which we'll come on to in just a sec.
Well, it's going to slow down production generally in China, and you would have thought they'd have to pay a premium to make sure they get the slot that they want kind of thing a bit more. So that could drive up manufacturing costs for everyone a bit, basically. But it's one of those things that I don't think like the same problems that are facing Sony are facing Microsoft. So I don't think it's going to benefit either one of them either way, kind of
thing. It's worth always kind of realizing as well. It's like, so this was something that was drilled into me from many, many years ago working for Game. But the profit margins generally are very, very slim anyway on consoles. Yeah. Where sort of Sony and Microsoft tend to make sort of most of their kind of profit margin is from peripherals and accessories and obviously software.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not looking good.
Well, but if we think about how Microsoft have positioned themselves, right, with kind of Project X Cloud, you know, very much kind of like, you know, you can game wherever you are, but it's going to be best on your Xbox if you're physically co-located with it. I mean, do you think they might be trying to position the new Xbox almost as a loss leader, hoping to get a high attach rate on, like, Premium Game Pass, you know, Project X Cloud, all these kind of things? You know, do you think they might be actually looking at a completely different business model for Sony and may be able to keep costs down at the point of purchase?
Well, it's funny you say that. Obviously, you mentioned about Project X Cloud, but the way I actually have my Xbox is through Xbox Access, I think it's called. So basically, I pay £18 a month. It's a two-year contract. They did some promotion so you could get a slightly shorter one and, like, trade it in. So, like, it's a two-year contract, like your phone contract. I pay $17.99 a month. That gets me my Xbox, Xbox Live Gold, and Xbox Game Pass.
Nice.
Though it's funded slightly weirdly. Basically, it's all run through Klarna, which is, like, the consumer financing service, which if you've bought from, like, Shoe or River Island or ASOS, like, you've seen adverts for Klarna. It's kind of everywhere. So basically, it essentially takes, like, the cost of the Xbox, the subscriptions, you know, times it by, like, 24 and then pays out each month. But I do kind of feel like that's maybe them trialing the whole kind of service thing. And as you say, it could be you pay maybe £20-25 straight to Microsoft, you get the console for free, or you almost kind of have it as almost like a rental or something, and then you maybe send it back and they refurbish it, like, who knows. But I definitely think the kind of console as a service is definitely something they're already exploring.
But see, they've tried similar things in America as well. They've trialed similar things. So, and I think that's something where
they try a lot of things in America these days, mate.
But then I think more so than Sony or Nintendo, Microsoft have to and have learned in this generation and have learned their lesson that they need to not necessarily be the primary console in the household, or, you know, the primary console that the person is buying. I think they want to make it an attractive possibility of buying your second console and doing that much quicker than you would to buy two consoles. So one way of doing that is spreading the cost over time. I was also talking about last week, I think there's a chance that they'll make the Xbox Series X, mouthful of a console, they'll make the games that appear on that are exclusive for that, I think they might make playable on existing Xbox platforms,
but through
via
xCloud.
That just means that you don't even need to buy a new buy a new console to get the best out of it, but to be able to play and access most of the games in some form, you can still do that through xCloud on your existing console.
Complete no-brainer.
And I think that undercuts that a bit as well.
I think they're also kind of showing that, again, they're maybe wanting to go that route, because obviously with Game Pass Ultimate, you get access to games on PC as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, so they know that people are possibly going to have multiple platforms. Like, you've got your Xbox, you've got your PC, Game Pass will get you games on both. And then obviously with, like, xCloud, then it's like, oh, cool, you can go and play it on your phone or your tablet when you're out and about.
Because that's totally the approach, and I think that's where Stadia's got its fundamental problem, is that there is no local play option. And actually, sometimes, you know, you go, all right, I'm out and about, or I'm having my toilet break at work, I need some entertainment for 5 minutes, I'm going to do me some Gears of War so everyone can hear you chainsawing things whilst you're sat on the bog.
That's why you use headphones.
No. If you're going to do a job, do it properly. I think you just got to be loud and proud with this kind of stuff.
Also, I don't know if you guys have actually seen xCloud running, but yeah, so I saw it running playing Destiny 2 on on a Google Pixel 3. Ooh. And yeah, it was...
Yeah, it does the job.
Yeah, I mean, he only did it for about 10 minutes, but yeah, really, really impressive, actually. Mm-hmm. So,
And I think, you know, Microsoft are positioning themselves to basically give you all the choices you can want. If you want to play it on your PC, play it on your PC. If you want to play it on Xbox Series X, play it there. If you want to just stream it to any other device, you can, but it's all about the choices that they give you. And I think that's I think this next console generation is going to be a really, really interesting one, not just for consoles but for kind of gaming as a whole, regardless of
services and how games work and operate and who makes what game for what platform and what advantages they can take of that. And
I think it's kind of much more turning into that whole thing of wherever and however you want to play, you can, because they're starting to kind of realize that, you know, people don't just have one console. They might have multiple consoles, multiple platforms, multiple mobile devices, and you want to be able to get all of your stuff on all of your things.
All of the stuff on all of the things. And that's the campaign slogan we're going to stick to as we set ourselves up to rule the world. All of the stuff and all of the things. But kind of just looping back to what we were saying before, it's about the PS... Somehow a PS5 segment turned into talk about Microsoft.
More
I'm not quite sure how we did that.
Can't entirely talk about one without the other, but hey.
Yeah, indeed. The PlayStation are apparently pulling out of PAX East this year.
Yes.
Citing COVID-19, which is the cool street name for coronavirus these days.
Yeah.
So they have taken the decision to cancel their participation due to increasing concerns related to COVID. We felt safest options, situation changing daily. We're disappointed to cancel our participation, but the health and safety of our global workforce is our highest concern, which is fair enough to be. That was more than fair enough, to be perfectly honest with you.
I don't know. You're the doctor here, Dan.
Yes.
But last time I heard, there was 5 confirmed cases of coronavirus in America. Or COVID-19 in America?
Yeah, I mean, I think coronavirus is a really tricky one. So a coronavirus is, just to you know, put all aspersions aside, is not best enjoyed with a slice of lime. It is one of the common viruses. Be a joke for you there, ladies and gents. I'm trying out that joke's not going terribly well, going to be honest with you. The coronavirus is a family of viruses. The common cold can be caused by a coronavirus. And it's just that this coronavirus has jumped species from an animal to man, which means it could behave in potentially unpredictable ways. I don't think, again, this is just my impression, not that of my employer, not that of anybody else. It's just what I've looked at, and as an epidemiologist and a clinician, here's what I think. I actually think that we're much further into this than we previously thought. I think part of that is because China was underreporting actually when it all kicked off. I think it's more like 3 months old than 3 weeks old. But that notwithstanding, it is a highly infectious disease, and I'm not sure how accurate a confirmed case... Well, confirmed cases are confirmed because they've sequenced the genome of the virus in these individuals. So you know they're the case. That they are indeed cases. But in terms of what the prognosis is as you get it, I think that's probably on the scarier side of what it actually truly is at the moment. That notwithstanding, it is fairly infectious. And Sarah, Tim, we've all been to games cons, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, those controllers are disgusting.
This is the reason why they call it con flu. Like, you don't. There doesn't need to be a global epidemic for you to come away from a games convention and just be sick.
Yeah, it's just like, and like whenever you take, you can, like, there's this layer of slime on them. They're sticky and they're moist and it's just wrong. And you know, to be honest, if you're worried about coronavirus, the best thing you can do, okay, is Wash your damn hands, people. Wash your hands, seriously. Soap, water, wash hands.
But as a slightly more serious medical question, although that is not an unserious point, but
yeah.
Is there like an increased risk during a time of an epidemic in going to a big public event like PAX? Like, because it's not like everyone's drawing out. It seems like they might be using this as an excuse to cover up the fact that they don't want to be there for some reason. Either the big demo that they kind of wanted to play wasn't there, or they didn't want to show their hand yet. Or
tinfoil hat. Okay, back in your box.
When is PAX East? How far away are we from it?
I think it's imminent, but I'm not sure how close.
Because I'm kind of...
February 27th to March 1st, 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, so like, next week,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for Sony to be pulling out now, that's such a huge amount of money down the drain.
Because yeah, presumably. Because they wouldn't be able to...
That's going to be everything from the money they've paid for the floor space... Mm. Through to whatever they've had to pay to get the booth built.
And they've probably shipped a bunch of stuff already.
Yeah, they probably... And even down to things like airfare and hotels for the staff. That's already going to be booked by now.
Mm.
So yeah, so that's like a huge amount of money. So like they wouldn't have cancelled without
a good
working
reason.
Out that it's... the better idea for them.
I mean, I think it's a big unknown at the moment, and I don't just... anyone's listening, I don't think the world's about to end. The world is not about to end. It's just because it is a new disease.
Yeah.
Well, new, quote-unquote. It is a variant of a common infection, but because it's really early days in terms of knowing who is most at risk... who of not only catching it, but also who is most at risk of developing complications, because it's such a big unknown. I think it's probably that is the reason why. But come back to your point, Tim. With a brand new disease, it means that there's not many people in the general population have immunity to it.
So the more people exposed...
So if there is a single infectious case, there's going to be a lot... they're going to be surrounded by a lot of susceptible individuals. And the other challenge with coronavirus is that for many people, they're actually infectious before they're symptomatic.
Yes, that's one of the things they keep on worrying about.
So yeah, but generally speaking, seriously, top tip, if you don't like being unwell sucks, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Not just, I've sprinkled my fingers under a little bit of water and that's just... well, you've just given viruses a bath. You haven't gotten rid of them, all right? Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Timothy, wash your hands.
Yes, should do this. This is a good thing to do. Right, yeah, so I think we better crack on as we don't have a heavy end of the show because I don't think we've played a massive amount of things this week. But we do have some points of interest to crack on through at the moment as well, basically. So earlier today, there was an Animal Crossing Ninty Direct, as I've put on the agenda, but Nintendo Direct for Animal Crossing. I did watch it. I was largely uninterested because I have no interest in this game, and I think that's the same for you, Dan, no?
I dabbled in it. Having conversations with Brady made me want to play it.
Oh, I forgot how much Brady John Brady absolutely loves this game. So, yeah.
John Brady loves Animal Crossing. I just have issues being, you know, a glorified indentured servant to Tom Nook, who is just an...
Is it just me? I find the phrase that they used everywhere, all over that video, the Nook Inc., that sounds wrong. It isn't, but it sounds like it should be in an innuendo.
And there are dogs. You know, someone construed that as there is dogging in Animal Crossing.
Oh.
No, Animal Crossing is far too wholesome. No.
That's a dark place to take Animal it. Crossing.
Yeah.
I mean, don't even get me started on bells. And when you run out of money... that's okay, the end of your bells, the bell end, if you will.
I will give you the innuendo on bells. Nook Inc. I don't get.
Wasn't necessarily saying something like that. It just sounds a bit creepy and wrong, and I didn't like the use of the term quite a lot.
It's not like they've got me saying Nook Inc.
I see. No. Oh, why have I inflicted upon myself? But yeah, as I said, that's why I think it's a good week for you to come on, because I think this is a game you actually like.
Love. I've never played an Animal Crossing.
Okay, I thought.
But,
Genius.
But it is one of those games where it's like, why have I never played it?
Oh, okay.
Because it is so completely my kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I just kind of assumed it was...
So like, for the past 3 weeks or so, every Friday, I've been playing for multiple hours at a time House Flipper on
Steam.
Heard of that. Where you literally just buy... an awful, run-down, disgusting, falling-apart house.
Do it up.
Clean it up and renovate it. But you even get to the level of detail of, like, having to, like, fill in cracks on the walls and then repaint. Yeah, I've literally just spent hours. So when I was flicking on and off of the Animal Crossing Direct while I was getting some other stuff done, and it was things like, yeah, being able to, like, buy your house and decorate your house.
Yeah.
And then they show the level of detail that you can get your house to and the fact that you can make your own custom, like, coffee mugs and you can do your own designs to, like, go on the coffee mugs. And you can also, like, design the island and you can, like, change where the rivers and the mountains and the
people
beaches are.
People getting really
on the
excited
island.
About the terraforming going on.
That game is going to take over my life, basically.
So the wholesale, I mean, first of all, about owning the house. Now, actually, Tom Nook gives you a loan for the house, and and he is the biggest mortgage shark there is known to man. He keeps, but when you think you're just about to pay it off, oh, no. So, oh, you want some doors for your house, do you? Well, you're going to have to remortgage everything, aren't we? Yeah, it's a bit of that. But also, it sounds like a really twee version of, like, Bear Grylls Survivor. So the whole setup is that you're sent on an island vacation, quote unquote, as part of the deserted island getaway package from Nook Inc. So not only is he charging you money to go to this deserted island, which you then put your labour in for free to build a house, he then charges your mortgage on the house to go on the island that you've already paid to get to.
Well, at first you have a tent.
You don't even get a house.
At first you have a tent and you're camping on the island,
right.
And then you can pay.
Oh!
He doesn't pay you the mortgage until you've bought the house, and then he'll build the house for you on the island, and then you pay the mortgage on the house.
Right, okay.
But, yeah.
I have enough of this nonsense to put up with in real life.
But for us, like, poor millennials, where we kind of dream of...
All right, I'm going to get in before OK Boomer, okay? I'm getting in before that. And I'll have you know I'm woke, whatever that means. I don't know.
But yeah, Animal Crossing looks super wholesome, and it just looks like a nice, pure, chill way to spend a few hours in between whatever other things you're playing.
I have to say, as much as, like, I tried to come off as aloof, like, it did almost tempt me. Like, it was just like I could see myself just chilling out to this game, like, as you say, just like absolutely relaxing and getting lost on a desert.
Yeah, it's very much the same kind of vibe as like Stardew Valley, where you're like, oh, I'm just gonna lay here and plant some crops and water some crops and just kind of just turn off things. it's that sort of vibe. It's nice.
And before you know, it's 6 hours later, and
I'm quite partial to her. I think that's what No Man's Sky does for me. That's my chill out, just stare into the distance and do something of not really much importance.
Space farming.
I'm a space trucker. No, that's Elite Dangerous, really.
Right, so more points of interest to Motor Through as well, as we didn't motor through that one very
exactly
quickly,
Ninja.
But it did deserve a bit more talking about. We'll gloss over Ninja a little bit, because I think the rest of the internet has already dogpiled him enough. But yeah, in case you didn't hear, Dan, you want to take it away with...
I want to sum this up. Ninja said some things that make him sound like a bit of a bell end. Next topic.
I mean, that's pretty much a lot of what he says, but this week he is getting a lot of fire for saying that the phrase "it's just a game" is a weak mindset was the general kind of...
No, it's a correct mindset.
Yeah, there was also... So that was a tweet, and then a video
kind of surfaced
of him getting...
really angry.
Really, really obnoxiously aggressive about people who are like, oh, it's just a game. And But the funny thing is he quoted LeBron James. And he was like, oh, LeBron James won't ever say it's just a game, or else he wouldn't be at, like, the top of his, like, career. And then someone literally found a screenshot of a transcript of an interview with LeBron James saying, it's
just
a game.
Game.
So, yeah, Ninja is a bit of an idiot sometimes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I think the chap could do with a little bit of living in the real world, perhaps. And, you know, to me, games are a wonderful thing. I mean, games are a different thing to everyone, right? And if you are a paid YouTuber or a paid esports professional, then okay, perhaps saying it's just a game could be irksome to you because, you know, your skill at that is what your entire income is based on, okay? I kind of get that. But you've also got to have the self-reflection to go, do you know what? For many people, it is a way to chill out. And, you know, I will rarely play competitive shooters just because I know it triggers me.
Yeah.
Absolutely triggers me. I mean, seriously, if you drop me into Destiny 2 and make me go to the Crucible, I'll be claiming that everyone and their dog is hacking within seconds.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah, and I mean they are though, right? And,
yeah, exactly. And yeah, especially when they're invading in Crucible. No, Gambit.
Yep, with their bloody sleeper simulants.
But anyway.
God damn it. See, I want Sarah back on the show more. I have a Destiny 2 friend that way.
See, this is how it happened with Stick Twiddlers. I went on once as a guest and then just didn't leave for a year. So guess you're stuck with me now.
A Big Red Barrel Destiny podcast, calling it now.
Oh, let's do it.
Tim and Coleman, Tim and VR podcast, so we'd spout all that nonsense in one place. But look, that ended up for me.
That didn't turn into a safe space. But yeah, look, just to sum up the ninja thing a little bit, like it literally it's a game by definition. Like by name alone, you are wrong. Like you know what I mean?
just chill. Just chill.
Chill out.
Although, as you said, I can understand him taking it seriously as it is his profession ultimately. But also, I wonder if it's signs of him showing his age, and I hate I'm saying that as an older gamer who's had to go through the stages of you do get worse at these games as you get older kind of thing. I've always maintained in competitive esports there should be age categories in the same way there is weight categories in boxing, basically. But
that would make sense.
Let's leave Ninja to that. As I said, enough people have already jumped on top of him. One we'll cover very quickly as we kind of need to motor through a bit more. Dreams has been released this week, and to high acclaim. I did mean to actually play some of it this week. I have just been that busy at work, I didn't really get time.
Me also. I shall get to creating suggestive 3D, three-dimensional objects in Dreams presently.
I've played enough to go, at the moment, especially with the work that I'm doing at work at the moment, I don't want to come home and do work that's similar, like do more work on top of the work.
Almost like Animal Crossing, where you spend the day, you know, being an adult, and then you come back to chill out by doing more adult things.
But yeah, like it's a fantastic game. It's getting a lot of coverage at the moment. It's one that I played it in preview. I'm really looking forward to actually, sort of playing. I don't want to go and create anything. I just want to go and play around with the stuff that people have been creating.
I mean, that's where I'm at a bit. I think I'm probably going to be a consumer of content on Dreams, and you know, I have the time to put together something in Dreams? I mean, I'd probably be quite relaxed to just go and build stuff in Dreams. I can see that being quite fun. But yeah, I think I'm probably going to work. I might wait a little bit until the amount of stuff available from the communities there
has increased, and also so the good stuff bubbled up to the surface, which they do seem to be doing a good job of kind of highlighting to the community and stuff now at the moment. But the one thing I like about Dreams as well is
they do come true.
You've got like a passing interest in the making side of it. Anything that's been put up as a creation, you can go into and see how they made it. So you can get inspiration from things, you can remix things, you can take things on and do your own stuff with them as well. So
you can also just use it as it is in your own thing.
Yes.
So yeah, so it's almost kind of part like asset store as well.
Yeah.
I saw one of the presentations for it at EGX last year, and I just remember watching it just going like just mind blown at just how simple at first, but ultimately how powerful those tools can be. It's we are going to see some ridiculous stuff. There's already been ridiculous stuff created, but
can I just say we made a nice segue from one tool, Ninja, to another to another in Dreams.
Another a whole set of tools.
But we'll move on through the agenda just on this. But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but with Little Big Planet, I always became almost paralyzed with the choice of what I could do, and it just ended up that I did nothing with it.
Yeah, that's very much why if I get dreams, like I love, same with Little Big Planet, same with dreams, I love the idea of it, and I think it's an amazing tool, and people are going to create amazing things. I'm not one of those people.
Yep, with you.
I might try and be one of those people in the future. I have tried to be one of those people in the past. It did not go entirely well. I was like, no, I'm going to come back when there's more things been made for me to play with so I can put them together and then do stuff with them. At the moment, me creating everything from the ground up, no.
Well, Tim, you know, you got to have hope and you know you've got to be strong, right?
But yeah, anyway, before we get more musical, moving on. Witcher 3 Switch Edition has been patched this week, and we're mentioning it just because... Yeah, it's a kind of big old patch as well.
Just going on what I've kind of watched on YouTube and stuff like that, that actually it's been a really big patch insofar as it's really optimized the game, plays a lot more smoothly, a lot more consistent frame rate. But one of the really cool things that it does is it enables cross-play with the PC, so specifically the Steam or the good old games version. You got to choose where your what PC platform you want to cross save with, and the only caveat is you have to have the game with all the expansions on PC to be able to cross play, because the edition released on Switch is the one where it's the kind of the game of the year, for want of a better way of putting it, collection. So absolutely everything's bundled in there. I think it's really. I absolutely love cross-play stuff. I mean, the only bit I've dabbled in with cross-play is, guess what? Here comes your Destiny 2 again. Because I primarily play on the PC. But with the cross-save stuff, it means that if I want to just hang out with mates on the PS4 version for a bit and get some stuff done, I can, and it's great. And I'd imagine if you're commuting as well, like a story-based game like Witcher, which would be a nice way to kind of go, oh, I'll progress the story a bit further, see what's in like this particular narrative quest. That'd be a great way to spend commuting, and then it's all synced up when you get home. Robert's your mother's brother.
Witcher 3, just like go into a bar... like on your main console and just sit down and play Gwent, and then you can play that on the tube on your Switch.
Well, Gwent is its own thing now, but I think just on PC, but that'll probably end up coming up on Switch. But
I talked about Thronebreaker last week and I finished that, so I'll mention that in a minute as well. Nice. But that's basically, it's Gwent extended into a bigger game, basically, and it's awesome.
I think the other like really good thing is with this patch is obviously just like the the sort of graphical improvements and just the sort of like running improvements, because my boyfriend picked it up on Switch pretty much when it came out, stopped playing it fairly quickly just because it would just crash. It really wasn't, it didn't run very reliably. So, yeah.
It's not what you want from a game like that, especially, is it? Really?
Exactly. Mm. But, yeah, it seems like it's obviously all fixed now, so all good.
Seriously, it absolutely blows my mind, just frankly, the sheer, no pun intended, witchcraft that people, that game studios pull to get stuff running on Switch, like Doom. Doom 2016 has no place running on a Switch, but it does, and it does it quite well.
I think it's Digital Foundry did a super, super, super in-depth, massively technical, I only understood maybe like 30% of it, video on what was done to get Wolfenstein running on Switch.
Yeah, that's silly.
Oh, find the video if you're in any way interested in, I'd say, just video games in general, because it is absolutely fascinating, even if you kind of, yeah, like me, don't understand all of the technical stuff. It's, yeah, absolutely mind-blowing what they've done.
What they did is they took the game and they put some science in it, and then it was out on the Switch. That's how it works, right? I think that's how it works. Yeah.
Science. That's it. Yeah. That's
game development.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. And it's not the only patch, because No Man's Sky was patched as well. The game that looked like it was on its deathbed, but has kept on coming back stronger and stronger and stronger. Apparently, I haven't had a chance to play this. It's the live ship update, and you can now grow your own ships.
Say that again? What?
You grow your own ships. You've got free-reign ships.
Ships. You definitely said ship. Okay.
Yeah, ship. Good. So the Living Ship update introduces the first new starship since the Atlas Rises expansion, but they are creatures of their own. And, you know, you can grow your own ship from an egg. It's like Kinder Surprise, but with spaceships. I'm guessing.
Interesting.
Where does the chocolate come into that equation?
Well, because it's an egg. You've got an egg, and inside the egg is a nice little toy to play with, like a spaceship.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
But they've got, like, tendrils, and they look like bugs and stuff.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Right.
When you said it was like a living ship and it came out of an egg, I thought maybe like a cool space bird looking thing.
Yeah, it's not like a unicorn with rainbows and stuff. No, nothing like that. It's a big fuggy bug.
I kind of assumed the kind of, you know, somewhat. Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah.
Still good.
Interesting. It sounds. Yeah. I need to fire that up and play some more in VR because it is good in VR. But yeah.
But I have no idea how they make the numbers, the financials work for No Man's Sky anymore, because it's like, right, so you've got everyone to buy the game and you keep updating it, but you're not... how does that work? How do you pay rent?
surely, like, more people buy the game, the more they add to it and people see a bit more. And
I mean, it's absolute, from kind of like a gaming history point of view, it's an absolutely fascinating case study in something that a company has turned around so entirely, because... Man, No Man's Sky looked like it was not going to pan out well for Hello Games. But they've done really well.
Yeah.
They've done well.
Shows it's worth sticking with. If you've got a good idea and, you know, got faith in it, then do so.
And we also talked about ninjas earlier on. We're going to talk about assassins instead. That's the best link I could come up with. I'm sorry.
Ninjas versus assassins.
I was going to say, that's a tenuous link right there.
Well, all I can say is this is the tip of the iceberg, Sarah.
I think you'll find that Dan is the master of the tenuous link.
Excellent.
Yeah, that my favourite segues are those that are seamless, much like a bad pair of trousers, generally, is how I describe it. But Epic Store, say what you will about them, but you can get Assassin's Creed Syndicate for absolutely free. And that's a price even Anthem's worth the price of admission for. Seriously, it's a great game, Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Based in London, so we've obviously got a little bit of a soft spot for it. Great game. Go pick it up. It will cost you nothing. Epic Games Store, but confusingly not Uplay. That confuses me, but anyway. It's free. Go there. Get it. Worth it.
Uplay confuses everyone, Dan.
Yeah.
So
that just about wraps up our points of interest. They are interested now, and our lines are headed. So what have we done played? I'll lead with this, and it's not much. I've disappeared into a very deep, dark Division 2 shaped hole.
Oh, okay. But that's
man,
working out
that
okay.
Game, the end game on that game is so good. I've just disappeared into a world of needing to collect all of the things and get all the guns and all the shiny things. And yeah, good game. Good game. Yes. So anyway, that's what I've played. Carry on, everyone.
Well, yeah. Well, I can do almost equally quickly. I haven't really played very much. As I said, I didn't get much time to game this week. I did manage to, I think on Friday, I think it was, finish off Thronebreaker, basically. But really enjoyed that start to finish. Thronebreaker, The Witcher's Tales. As I said, literally Gwent kind of built out into a game when you're wandering around as Queen Meave. And yeah, really highly recommend if you like Gwent. It was really good. Really enjoyed it. And start to finish. End battle, really tough. Battle just before the end was really tough and literally was the first battle that made us kind of readdress all our tactics and kind of have to completely rebuild our deck in a completely different way. And then we absolutely stormed the rest of the game, basically.
Nice.
But yeah, like, still really, really good. Really enjoyed it. It was really good fun. So yeah, that was good from start to finish. And I think for like the 17 quid that it cost, we got like 60 plus hours out of it between me and my flatmate.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, that was... that leads on to another card game. This is one I'm interested. I played this EGX, I think, last year.
Yes,
and
it
I quite
was
liked
at
it.
EGX.
Yeah.
So I've been playing Legends of Runeterra, which is the League of Legends card game.
Mm.
So obviously you had World of Warcraft, and then Blizzard made Hearthstone from that world. This is essentially the same thing, but with League of Legends turning into a card game. Tuesday nights, I stream trading card games. Started off with just streaming loads of Hearthstone, but now I'm kind of starting to dig into loads of other stuff because there's loads of really good trading card games on PC at the moment. Legends of Runeterra, played it for the first time last night.
Mm.
I like it.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. If you kind of think of like a scale of at one end, you've got Hearthstone, which is super, super easy to pick up, super easy to understand. Mm. Granted, there's loads of depth after that, but yeah, ultimately the core game and the core gameplay is very, very, very simple. And then at kind of the far end, you have something like Magic the Gathering, yeah, which is
super complicated.
super complicated, lots and lots of kind of things to kind of learn and mm, kind of difficult. Legends of Runeterra, I'd say, sits somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
It's got a really interesting turn system. So obviously with Hearthstone, it's player one does all of their moves, ends their turn. Player two does all of their stuff, yeah, ends their turn. The way it works in Legends of Runeterra is you have rounds.
Mm.
So within a round, say it's my round, I'll be given the attack token. That means that I can do, what I will do is I will do something like I will play a minion. Mm. And then it goes to the other player. The other player will play like a minion. It will come back to me. I'll play a spell because they don't count as an action. And then I'll play like another minion. And then it'll kind of go back and forth like that. At any point, if you've got the attack token, you can choose to attack. But basically, you put out what creatures you want to attack, and then your opponent gets a chance to choose who blocks who, which is something that kind of happens from Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And then once everyone's done everything, once the attacking player has attacked, everyone's used all of their mana, done all of their spells, the round ends.
Yeah.
And then the next player will be the one that gets to attack, but that back and forth of playing abilities and spells and characters still happens. It's really, really interesting. It takes a little bit of getting used to, but yeah, I'm really, really keen to play
more. And in terms of familiarity with the kind of underlying IP, I mean, because I have to say, I very briefly dabbled in League of Legends, but was put quite firmly off by the toxic player base, to put not too fun a point on it.
Oh, exactly the same with me. I really enjoyed playing League of Legends against bots, playing it against real people. Put me off the entire game really quickly. So, you don't need to know anything about the existing world. It does a really good job of kind of explaining it to you. It looks beautiful as well. The art, even like the kind of artwork and the way the game looks, is very much that middle ground between like super cartoony Hearthstone and super serious Magic the Gathering. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. Looks beautiful, plays beautifully. It's an open beta at the moment, so it's free to kind of jump into, and I'm really enjoying it.
It's kind of quite bright in the same way Hearthstone is, isn't it?
It's very
dark and broody, like Magic kind of.
Yeah,
thing,
it's right? Very, very bright and shiny.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah, just slightly less cartoony than Hearthstone can get.
I remember from the bit I played, I remember liking the way that certain cards comboed together. I think maybe like the spells and then playing a card with that spell and something like that.
Yeah, there's lots, even just from like the little bit that I played, I'm starting to see how it can get very, very, very tactical.
Yeah.
Because, certain cards will do things on being played, on dying, which is, again, obviously similar to Hearthstone, but also things like when they attack, they'll also have like another thing they'll do as well. Really, really, really interesting.
This one, I'm jealous that it's only on PC at the moment.
It's on Android as well, I think.
Okay. I might have to check out on that as well then.
Or pre-register on Google Play, and it will eventually come out on iOS as well.
They said they had plans for other platforms. I may have wrongly assumed that was consoles when it was actually mobile, maybe.
Yeah, because I must admit, obviously, the fact that Hearthstone is one account, whether you're playing it on your phone or your PC, is like one of the best things.
It's
obviously
cool,
all cross-play and everything as well, but yeah, I imagine if Runeterra, when that comes out on phones, that'll be exactly the same as well. So, but yeah, cool, definitely. Cool. If you like Hearthstone, if you like trading card games in general, definitely check it out.
Do you know what? I've just downloaded it.
Yes. To be honest, I literally downloaded it. I think I caught 5 minutes of someone's stream of it on Monday night, Tuesday night, and was like, "Yeah, I'll download that."
But yeah, cool. Well, that's one I might be checking out as well in the future. I did like the little bit I played, so yeah. Thank you very much. See, definitely good to have you here. Not only could you fill us in on Gosh, but then we would have been lost on Animal Crossing without you, and we had no games to talk about. So literally, like, you are the show this week. So there you
Hooray.
Go.
Huzzah! Huzzah! So yeah, that means we're probably just about done. But Tim.
Yep.
Tuesday. It is the ham or other sandwich filling of your choice between the slightly tedious bits of bread that are Monday and Wednesday.
And every Tuesday we fill with an event we like to call Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston. You can come along and play our feature game, and if you do, you get a chance to win a copy of that game at the end of the evening. This week's game is a bit special in a weird kind of way, but like, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this one goes down. I know not much about the game. It's not one that's kind of, I don't even know if it's got a rating on Board Game Geek. It may do, but it's a new company that I haven't really dealt with before, slightly different thing. But it's a like really interesting looking game. It's called, I'll do the description first and then I'll tell you what it's called. I think it's funnier that way.
Right.
But literally, it's a game about, like, it takes place in an 80s American high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And you are doing what you can to kind of fit in with the clique of people there at the high school, basically.
Always and ends well.
Lots of, like, it's a silly party game, so I think it's going to be, like, quite easy to get into. Sounds really silly and really fun. And it is called, and it probably has to be said in a stronger American twang than I'm going to manage, but it's called Oh My God, Stacy.
Oh My God, Stacy.
Oh My God, Stacy. Exactly.
I guess I'm coming to Tabletop Tuesday.
Oh my God.
Tuesday. That honestly sounds so good.
Exactly.
That sounds so fun.
It sounded like one I couldn't pass up on. So that'll be Tuesday, the 25th of February. If you need more details, you can check the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, where we have details there. You could also come along and join the over 1,850 people on our meetup group. And just search for Tabletop Tuesday on Meetup.
Splendid. You should do that and stuff. And things.
Yes. Come
join
us.
I would also just like to give a quick shout out. Some members of the community have been in touch via a heady mix of Discord and Twitter. If you do want to come say hello on Discord, there is a link on the top right or the right side of our webpage. And come say hello. Because we're nice in there, and I'm always looking for people to join the cult that is Destiny 2 on PC.
He's not even joking.
We're gonna have Destiny chat.
Are you there? Are you on? Do you play it on Steam?
Not on Steam. I play it on Xbox, I'm afraid.
See, that's gonna be a problem for Dan. Have you already bought it on Xbox, even though
I have not bought it on Xbox.
Can you play cross-platform between PC and Xbox?
No. You can log in, but you with the same character on the different platforms.
So
it's cross-save, not cross-play. Yeah.
Let's motor through some questions then, because we have some things that mention Dreams, VR, and Destiny in one, and WWE in one question.
Apparently, Dreams can finally make the VR Destiny WWE game a reality. I'm not sure, you know, often, okay, and here's just, you know, a word from the wise. On this 40 plus years in which I've been on this planet, I've learned that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And I've got a feeling that would be like the Frankenstein horror freak show of games. It would do all of these things not well, and it would, you know, frankly, be a stain on the memory of Destiny and WWE.
I don't know. I could kind of see, you know, we'd have to put like some blue face paint on him, but I could kind of see The Rock playing a very convincing Zavala.
Oh, good Zavala. Yeah, that's true. But The Rock has an opinion on, well, anything, which Zavala doesn't have. So,
But you see, now you've said that, all I want to see is Destiny's 2 story reenacted by wrestlers. Entire cast of wrestlers. Can only have wrestlers
funnily enough, in my Destiny 2 clan, we do have a professional wrestler.
Really?
Nice.
Yes.
Really?
El Federat. El Federalis Santos Jr. from the Anti-Fun Police.
Wowza!
Is into their Brit Russ. Yeah, that's just my not so subtle name drop going there.
So I think we're a way off though from hearing Zvala go, Guardian, snap into a Slim Jim. So it could make it a reality. Whether or not it should is an open question. Sky Dark, question of the week. And we'll have to do a quick fire one on this. When you get a new game, okay, do you prefer a digital or a physical copy? He likes the physical.
He likes it physical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I'm just going to go out there. All right. I hate human interaction. Digital all the way.
Yep. I'm with you on that, but for a very, very different reason. Like 10 years ago, I was the one who bought all of the collector's editions, all the physical ones, everything. And then I ended up like moving house a couple of times. And like having to move house with all of that stuff it's hell on earth. Yeah, so I got rid of it all.
Because I can remember, was it the gear? Was it which Gears was it that came with that bloody cog medallion, which weighed a chuffing ton?
You haven't seen the one with the, like, wasn't the one with, like, the head of Marcus Fenix and stuff as well? A bust of him? Anyway. But yeah, that stuff just gets ridiculous. I got my Halo helmet thing down.
Well, I was going to bring that up, to be honest with you.
That's stupid.
I had that back in the day.
On the physical or digital, I was entirely physical until recently, and then VR was one of the things that turned me off that, because getting up and changing a VR game, like changing a game when you're wearing a VR headset, is a real pain in the ass. So I buy all my VR games digitally now. And the only other thing is I've almost gone the reverse. I don't buy like collector's editions of things like I used to. If a game I don't like as much or I'm not sure about, I'll actually buy the physical version in case I want to trade it in.
I think the last physical collector's edition I would have bought, if the price wasn't so eye-watering expensive, and I secretly wish I had bought, would be the Destiny 1 collector's edition that had the ghost in it.
Of course it was.
No, that was a really, really lovely collector's edition, actually. So,
well, yeah. You can now buy a little ghost separately.
That is a fair point.
I have a little ghost. You can buy them for about 13 quid. I call mine Gerald. Hello, Gerald. Yeah, eyes up, you little scamp. Anyway. Yeah.
I was going to get one of those, but the only one they had in Forbidden Planet when I was there was the Hunter Shell.
No, screw Hunters.
I play Warlock. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
We're
going
to get on really well, Sarah, I can tell this. I reckon your main is Warlock, probably.
I am indeed.
She did just say that, so, you know, but...
Yeah, just edit that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll make it look like a genius.
Hear me say it. Yeah.
I, however, like eating cranes and punching things, so I'm a titan. So
my boyfriend plays a titan, and I have lost count of the amount of times I've told him to stop punching the cursed thralls.
Mate,
and screams.
Anything
that explodes. It just makes titans want to punch.
It makes
more.
It makes you punch betterer and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when's the last time you punched something and it exploded with your namby pamby floating around and talk to the hand melee nonsense that
that's
Warlock
fair. Has? I just hang out at the back and I'll just revive you when you punch it.
Right.
And everything inevitably goes wrong.
Right, that is an excellent point. But also, it's me, Andy Baines.
Can I suggest that we leave his question for next week, because it's a bit longer and we're going to be long, and then we'll get into that in a bit more depth.
Absolutely, but I just wanted to give him a shout out and say thank you. It's me, Andy Baines. We shall get your question next week.
We'll come back to that next week.
And Matt McSherrin, via Twitter, congratulations on very quickly making a link between Dreams and the inevitable descent of it into adult entertainment.
Well, he says, if Dreams is the YouTube of games, will there be an XTube of games? Will we see a spicy corner of the Dreamyverse that wasn't quite what MM intended it to be? And is that okay?
Can I just say, in the interest of fairness, other digital sources of Menage a Une-based fun are available.
The one thing I'll say in that is, from what I've heard, they have been quite quick to react if anything is a bit borderline, or a bit, they're tending to pull it down and sort of they seem to be reacting to complaints quite quickly and dealing with things quite quickly.
So basically, they want Dreams, not Wet Dreams, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh.
Good.
But so I don't think it will descend into that, hopefully, basically.
I also really enjoy that the first part of that question is, will we see a spike? Yeah. will we see a spicy corn? Like, it's the internet. Of course we will.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I'm actually
kind of in awe of Matt's, like, naivety to think that maybe it won't.
Oh, sweet summer child.
Well, no, it's whether it will filter through to us. No, people are definitely uploading their stuff. I have no doubt about that. It's whether it will actually get through the kind of what they put in place there. Because they've definitely thought about, we do not want a load of videos of a universe of penises running around. And
Damn it, that was my idea for a game!
They've very much learnt their lessons from Spore.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
That game where people only ever made penises.
but I at least I can look back at my life, and when I'm on my deathbed, I was like, well, what did I do that had meaning? And I went, well, I begat an entire civilization of spacefaring penises. And I'm okay with that, you know?
Are we back on Destiny 2 again already?
I think it might just be one of those things where it's just the conversation's just cyclical and will always just kind of come back around at some point.
Yep. See, we'll be on porn again before you know it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
That's the only two states this conversation can ever be. Destiny 2 or porn.
We've boiled down all podcasts, all gaming podcasts, into two things. Right.
There you go.
Okay, that's fine.
Right, before this gets any worse, we're going to stop. So I think all that's really left is for me to remind you that you should go to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or indeed facebook.com/bigredbarrel or things.stuff.xyz/bigredbarrel. In fact, Big Red Barrel after anything. I want to see what happens if you go to wayfair.com/bigredbarrel, frankly. I don't know. Or IKEA or other places. What happens if you go into bigredbarrel.com/bigredbarrel? Does the universe implode? Let me know next week. Although if the universe has imploded, you won't be able to let me know. So, yeah.
And more importantly this week, also make sure to go along and follow Geek Out for Gosh on Twitter.
Please do. Come and
Pick
say
a Pies
hi.
On Sarah as well. On Sarah on Twitter as well, basically.
Yep.
Do both of those things and remember to get involved in Geek Out for Gosh. As I said, we will have more information on that going forward as well. But it's definitely something you should come along and support in any way you can, because that will be greatly appreciated by us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Sarah, thank you for coming to join me and Tim.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been nice to blow the dust off and actually kind of get back into podcasting. It's been good fun.
See, Dan will be petitioning Coleman now to replace me with you. You don't talk about VR, you talk Destiny 2 with him, you know, stuff.
Your microphone technique's better. You know how Discord works without complaining your computer's melted. You don't want to use Skype, which Tim does, you know. But no, seriously, thanks ever so much for coming along, Sarah. It's lovely having you along, and you know, we're so proud of you guys at Gosh for getting Geek Out with Gosh going. So good stuff.
Lovely, thank you very much. But yeah, as I said, thank you so much for having me, and yeah, please do come along, sign up, support Geek Out for Gosh in any way you can, whether that's you want to come and do a stream, whether you just want to chill and watch people and donate. Every little helps goes to ever there. Clearly, I've hit the point in my podcasting where my brain is just nah.
See, that's why we usually only do an hour. That's because my brain will just die after an hour.
Absolutely. Any way you support us not only goes towards improving the lives of seriously ill children at Great Ormond Street Hospital, but also helps us make bigger and better events in the future. And yeah, let's show Gosh just what the gaming community can do.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a very positive note in which to end. So before we burst that bubble, I'm going to just say that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've definitely been Sarah.
Correct answer. So thanks ever so much for listening. Thanks ever so much for downloading us. We really appreciate it. And we will be back as usual next week. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.